4:27. Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life's in vain. I'm tempted then to murmur and of my lot complain. But when I think of Jesus and all he's done for me, then I cry, "Your rock of ages, hide thou me." O rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil farther on, and from my heart a courage has disappeared and gone, but I remember Jesus and all his love for me, then I cry, "Your rock of ages, hide thou." O rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, "Your rock of ages, hide thou me." Oh, what the friend of Jesus, sure anchor for my soul, so tender, true, and gracious, I'm safe in his control. My help in time of danger, my strong defense is he. Oh, the blessed rock of ages, hide thou me. Oh, rock of ages, hide thou me. No other refuge have I but thee. When life's dark veil I wander far, far from thee, then I cry, "O rock of ages, hide thou me."
4:30, if you would.
David, I don't know how to do that song.
I don't know how to do it either, not myself, Robert.
I wish I could.
But I love the song.
Rejoice, the Lord is King, your God and King adore. Mortals, give thanks and sing, and triumph evermore. Lift up thy heart, rejoice aloud, ye saints, rejoice, the Savior reigns, the God of truth and love. When indeed pain. He took its heart above. Lift up thy heart. Lift up thy voice. Rejoice aloud, ye saints, rejoice. His kingdom cannot fail. He rules over earth and hell. The keys of death and hell are to our Jesus give. Lift up thy heart, lift up thy voice, rejoice aloud, ye saints, rejoice.
It's hard to sing all them parts like that for me.
It's not the best that they've done.
Yeah, no,
well, I don't know that.
I love the song.
That is just the way.
I thought we'd done it well. 495.
You won't ever learn if you don't try. 495.
There is a river we must pass over. When life sun goes to sleep in the west, there'll be a light for me at the crossing, guiding me to my home of sweet rest. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam, down through the valley, past the dark shadow. Jesus, my life will carry me home. Soon I shall reach the brink of the river, wanderers murmur their song. Nothing can harm me, nothing alarm me, while I am sailing across to my home. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam, down through the valley, past the dark shadow. Jesus, my life will carry me home. Down by the river, soon I'll be standing, bidding farewell to friends on the shore, sailing with Jesus on to that land where He is the light that shines evermore. There'll be a light for me at the river, guiding my soul across the dark foam, down through the valley, past the dark shadow. Jesus, my life will carry me home.
Number 203.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. righteousness. I dare not trust a sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ of solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. When every eye and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Is of his covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Number 258.
Standing with gaze out of the tomorrow, memories of childhood come from behind. Memories from youth on which we can borrow, they will afford gifts, strength to the mind. Jesus is faithful, Jesus is faithful. He cannot fail me, Jesus is true. Leading me onward, onward to victory. He is my Savior, he'll see me through. As we go forth in faith, never knowing what is before us, what lies ahead. Looking to Christ, who with us is going, he knows the way, so why should we dread? Jesus is faithful, Jesus is faithful. He cannot fail me, Jesus is true. Leading me onward, onward to victory. He is my Savior, he'll see me through. Though we may doubt our Lord is still faithful, though we may falter, Jesus will stand. He is our leader, we will be grateful, walking with him and holding his hand. Jesus is faithful, cannot fail me. Jesus is true. Lead me onward, comfort to victory. He is my Savior. He'll see me through.
Number 470.
Looking back through the years, I can see my dear Lord as they nailed him that day to the tree. For the love that he bore me, his lifeblood he poured. When his body was broken for me, oh, compassion so boundless and free. Jesus proved his great wealth of affection when his body was broken for me. For my sins and transgressions the dear Savior died. On the cross dying great agony, nails through hands and through feet, and a spear through his side, when his body was broken for me. Oh, love beyond human expression, compassion so boundless and free. Jesus proved his great wealth of affection when his body was broken for me. Yes, forever and ever his great love was proved when he suffered on dark Calvary and the curse of the law was forever removed when his body was broken for me. All love beyond human expression, compassion so boundless and free. Jesus proved his great wealth of affection when his body was broken for me.
Thank you, Brother.
You know, it's wonderful when you've got something sung out. When you know the Lord has stood in your defense, and you feel like the Lord has led you safe this very day to where we are and has given us peace and contentment. That even though we come up short in many ways and we fail on every hand and we could not do the way that we would love to, the Lord still loves us. You know, love beyond human expression. So that's so boundless and free. Jesus proved his great wealth of affection when his body was broken for me. When his body was broken, he proved it. You know, do we love the way the Lord does? The Lord tells us, that's something that, you know, I ask myself, do I love the way, the Lord said, he gave us this commandment, love one another as I have loved you. You know, the Lord never did love sin, but he loved sinners. He never did love the acts that the sinners committed, but he loved many of those that come to the knowledge that they were sinners, those that would confess that they were sinners, he loved them. He said he came into the world to save sinners, Paul said, of whom I'm chief. You know, he come not to save the righteous, but sinners unto repentance.
You know, am I walking above sin? Not according to John's writings. John said, the man saith he sinneth not, said he's a liar, and the truth's not in him. Brothers and sisters, you know, the Word of God is above all words. It's the authority of all words. And if our words do not agree with God's words, then we're not following the true way. We're not following the true path. If we don't have that same compassion within us, you know, it's one thing to follow after the ways of our natural fathers, but it's another thing to follow after the way of our Heavenly Father. And you know, we follow after the way of our natural father. We're born of our natural father, and we receive the traditions of our father after the way of the flesh. But brothers and sisters, except we're born of the Spirit of God, we cannot walk as the children of God, because we're not the children of God except we be born of the Spirit of God. And the Scripture tells me that these are the sons of God, which are born. Brothers and sisters, which have that quickening spirit abiding within them. These are the children of God. Not the children of flesh are not the children of God, but the children of the Spirit. And you know, the children of promise. The children of promise. And we thank the Lord that the only way that we have eternal life, you know, the Scripture tells me that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now listen to what the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The gift. I hadn't earned it. You know, we were 10,000 in debt, talents in debt. We didn't have a father to pay with. Brothers and sisters, these 10,000, if you could count the many times that I've sinned against God, the many times and the many offenses that I have committed, I wonder if they wouldn't be high above 10,000. We're 10,000 talents in debt, and we didn't have one offering of righteousness that could be accepted back to God the Father. And we didn't have a father to pay with. But brothers and sisters, you know, we're here today, and that eternal life is a free gift. And brothers and sisters, it's something that you can't buy by money. It's something that you can't obtain, but it was given as a free gift. You know, we sing another song, and it sings about it being costly and free and knows no end. Well, it costed Jesus Christ his life. Your eternal life costed Jesus Christ his life. It's free to you, and there's no end to it. There's a man said something to me the other day. I went to buy me a pair of shoes, work shoes, and went in and sat out, and he's talking about, I said, these shoes kind of get wore. I want to turn them in on a new pair. And he says, there's nothing that don't wear out, is there? I said, no, wait a minute. We need to think about that just a minute. There's nothing that don't get old. Brothers and sisters, eternal life don't get old. Eternal life don't wear out. The Scripture tells us the outward man decayeth, but the inward man is renewed day by day. Brothers and sisters, the inward man that's in you, that quickening spirit that's in you, is just as young, it's just as vital, brothers and sisters, as it was the day that you were quickened with it. It's no closer to the end when that life shall be no more than it was the very day that you experienced it. There wasn't a time when it began back in eternity, and there's not a time when it'll end in eternity. But it's just as new today. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we have no less days to sing His praise than when we first begun. We sing it from time to time, and I'll, Lord, have it sink into me that I might eat of that I've sung. Help me hear what we're saying. Help me hear what the Word of God is saying to us. I've opened to a song here, 480. And, brother, the name of the song, it says, with reverence let the saints appear. With reverence. You know, how do we come today? Do we come, I pray we do, and I believe we do. We come with reverence and love to God, because we can see the beauty that He has manifested Himself in. You know, Jesus, there was nothing about Him that you should desire Him. There's nothing about His flesh that you would desire Him, the Scripture teaches us. But it's the inward man. It's not the carnal flesh that He was. But brothers and sisters, He kept His flesh under subjection. And therefore he went before his shares as a lamb without blemish and without spot, and was accepted back to the Father, than offering, the only offering that could be accepted, because he had, there was no sin about him. And we want to ask Brother Ricky if he'll make mention of the sick and those that I'm sure he knows of, or many of them anyway. And I realize too that there's many here today that seem like there's one or two missing, their mates that didn't come with them and so forth, and tell them that we miss them. You know, they several here, and we just miss each one of them. We rejoice when they can be blessed to come, but we miss them all.
Yeah, we have several of the members here that aren't here with us this morning, and of course, Sister Simpson, we went by last week and visited her. She's doing right well in a nursing home here in Greensboro, and of course, she does have a desire to always come here, and she has a desire to go home, but she realizes that her health just won't allow it, but yet she's still doing well. We contacted Sister Laura, and we kept missing her at home. The sister went by to visit her a couple of weeks ago. We did get in touch with her, and she's doing okay. Her feet kind of bothering her ankles, and she's not able to get around well. And of course, she's not here this morning, and that's probably due to that. Sister Cashin, we talked with her, and of course, she really does right well to be as old as she is. And of course, I joked with her and told her, close as I get to that age, it doesn't seem that old. And she's, I think, 97. But she said she's doing right well, and she always wants people to come and visit, but call her first, because sometimes she'll lay down and go to sleep and say, here's the door and stuff. But she expressed her love for this church, and she thinks of us, and she said she was certain there was some there that she didn't know, but she said she knew that the Lord knew each and every one, and she gave us her love. And I hope that we would pray for her, and she's always praying for us. And so we were thankful for that. There are quite a few number of others that I put on the list. Of course, we found out earlier, Brother Barry told us that Sister Draper passed away last night, Brother John Draper's wife, and that she'll be at the funeral home tomorrow night in Lexington, and of course, I think Tuesday, she'll be at Pine. They have a funeral at Pine, 11 o'clock, I believe.
11 o'clock at Pine, Brother David and Brother Gene Hogan conducting the funeral, and
that's Tuesday.
At Tuesday, and tomorrow night at Davidson's funeral home in Lexington.
The funeral is there at Pine.
Sure.
Is she to be buried in that cemetery?
I'm not clear about that. I assume she was. Sister Jean Hogan did not stay there.
Okay. That's all right.
Probably so. Her daughter was buried there, a couple of years ago.
Okay. I know Brother Draper loves that place. I know that.
We have, of course, several sick. My dad had a gallbladder operation this week. He's doing okay. Just a little sore. He didn't make it this morning, but we think he'll do well. We certainly hope so. Brother Gene Hogan, we're not certain about his condition yet. But
I talked to Sister Jean yesterday and this morning, and they have, as of yesterday, they have not heard the test results on the muscle biopsy in Mr. Salem, and she's going to give them to this coming Friday to hear the results, and she's going to call them. She said that he tries to work today. It takes a day or two to get over that, so just this little week for each day.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help Brother Hogan do well. And one able to fruit, we're all going to come that way if we're going to live to the second resurrection. We have Brother Fry back here. He's going to have surgery on his back. Will be this week? Next month. We hope he'll do well in that. That's right. Sister Lisa. Talked to her this past week, and she said she might not get here today, but she was doing okay. She had some of her family get sick last couple of weeks ago, and she was at the funeral. She was at the hospital way in the night that night. She didn't get here that morning, two weeks ago. So her family's having some sickness, and her husband, little Bud, is on dialysis. We hope they'll do well. Pretty long. Some have gotten better, so I haven't read their names, but I know I've left out many. I know Brother David's mother's in the rest home. We hope she'll do well. I've overlooked any. If feel free to call their names out.
Brother Barry, would you give us a report? You was giving a few a report on Brother Richard Kirby a while ago.
I talked to Brother Richard yesterday morning, and I just can't get a good feel of how he's feeling. When you get him on the phone, you usually have a hard time getting off. You'll talk a half hour more.
Right.
Yesterday morning, just really,
yeah,
real short conversation. To be truthful, I don't know how well Brother Richard's
doing. Well, in other words, you're uneasy about him.
I am.
Yeah.
I'm very uneasy about him. He just doesn't seem the same in all aspects.
Is there anyone else? Has anyone they'd like to mention?
We just got several in our community and our church that they're stricken with cancer, stroke, and people we used to work with. Just without calling a name, just remember.
Yeah, yeah. I think of what many of you knew, brother, Hobart Medlin from down at Liberty Hill, this passing going on. But I've heard him say it many a time, and I know some of you have. When they would ask for prayer, he'd come up and say, and ever who the pastor was at that time or the moderator, he'd say, "Brethren, we all need it." And that's where we're at. We all need it. We all stand in need of prayer of God's elect, God's children. We believe that the fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. One that comes from the heart, the one that's the sent of God and goes to God, we believe it avails much. And God hears and is able to hear to the uttermost. And so we all stand in need of it. I see many come in this morning, and it ain't nothing new to you that's been over, and you can tell that they're aching with pain and so forth. And I find as I get a little older, I've got more pains than I used to have. And we look at Brother Richard, and we look at Brother Hogan, and brothers and sisters, it makes you fearful in one respect, because when you see these brethren that stood strong for these many years, and you see the shape that the body gets in, you know, except the Lord upholds and keeps and strengthens. Yes, the old Baptists are dying. But if the Lord strengthens and upholds, there's more old Baptists coming in. And if the Lord continues, brothers and sisters, this thing will last long as there's a time on the face of the earth. I believe the church will stand, for God will keep it going on. And we just pray that it might be here at Pine. And we pray that it might be down at Bear Creek. And we pray that it might be in us as long as we're here. And believe it will, that he that begin a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We just look forward to that. And so we'll sing 480 for an opening hymn. And we'll ask Brother Ricky, if he will, to come and offer prayer on our behalf. And those mentioned. Number 480.
With reverence let the saints appear and bow before our Lord. His high command with reverence hear and tremble at his word. How terrible thy glory be, how bright thine army shine. Where is the power that lies with thee, or truth compared with thine? The northern pole and southern rest on thy supporting hand, darkness and day from east to west, around at thy command.
Christ, and once again we bow before thee, and we bow in the midst of such precious saints that have gathered here this morning. We have not the mind to comprehend the needs that we stand in need of, but we hope, dear Father, that thou would answer the prayers of those that are sick, and if it be thy will, that thou would lift them up. And then, dear Lord, if they're never to be lifted up again, we hope that you will reconcile them to the condition that they are in, and lift them up daily, renew their spirits momentarily, but each and every moment that their minds are upon thee, that thou would lift them up and renew their spirit. We're so thankful, dear Lord, for the marvelous rain that has given us, and that throughout so many places of the earth, the rain does not fall. But we hope that the blessings will continue to fall upon us and here at this marvelous church, not only at this one, but the other churches that gather in thy name in truth and spirit. We hope that thou would be in the midst, not in name only, but in effectual feeling and the marvelous works that are conducted there. And not only at this hour, but at each and every hour that the church, when it does go out, that light will shine forth and others will see what is shining within. We're thankful for this brother that's come here this morning, dear Lord. We know that thou can teach him at this moment. We hope that you will fill him and teach him the things that we stand in need of and that we so desire to hear. We're thankful, dear Lord, for that consuming fire which is thee. And other than that marvelous grace that we do dwell, we're thankful that by the marvelous faith that thou hast given us, that we can, and with that faith only can we believe thee through that faith. And that faith is of the Holy Ghost, the marvelous Spirit that dwells within us. And it's in us at the moment of conception. And we're thankful, dear Lord, that we are among a precious remnant that is saved by thee here in this marvelous kingdom that we've been given to see, not with these our natural eyes, but through a marvelous Spirit dwelling within. We're thankful for this ground that we do work in now, and that our treasure is found within it, and that the treasure is found in the heaven that is here, not of the first heaven, but is of the second heaven that we now dwell in. And we hope, dear Lord, we can work here in this field, and that it is a marvelous field to work in with a treasure deep within us and in the very center. We're thankful for the one that come and run the race, and only one can win a race. And we hope that we're in that race, but we know that we cannot win it. But we are not of a perfect blood, but yet one came and he had a perfect blood and without spot and without blemish. And he did win the race, and he won it for only those that have been given and created in him. We hope, dear Lord, you will continue to bless us and sit now that you will bless this brother. And thou can lift him up, though he may feel so low. We know that thou art the one that can lift us up, and we're thankful that thou did come and go farther than any could go, placing thyself, never setting thyself up as a king here in this earth. Thy kingdom is not here. It is from the marvelous place that thou did come, and we wait patiently for the day when thou will come and gather up those, and that thou said with thy own mouth and own tongue that thou would never leave one behind. I'll raise them all up and carry them through a marvelous and eternal and in a world, an earth, a kingdom that will never end, an eternal kingdom. And dear Lord, now bless this brother who will do stand in need of thee at every moment. It is in thy holy name we do pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, by the way.
I don't know, it seemed like the song that we sung earlier, 480. Rejoice, the Lord and King, your God and King adore. Rejoice. Lift up your heart. You know, we have trials and tribulations, but Paul said, I reckon that the suffering of this present world is not to be compared with the glory hereafter. You know, the Lord tells us, he said, you have bore the image of the earthly, you shall bear the image of the heavenly. Who's he talking to? The world tells you, if you'll live right, he's talking to all mankind, you just have got to accept it. Well, brothers and sisters, my Bible does not teach me that. Yes, it says in John 3:16 that God so loved the world. But brethren, it put some stipulations on that. They said, God loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, the scripture says, is born of God. It also says that those are born of the Spirit of God, those that are born of the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Is there son that's not sons? The scripture says, if you have not chastisements, then you're bastards and not sons. Is there some that the Lord didn't love? He said, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. That the purpose of God according to election might stand. You know, I was reading that this morning. And it was amazing to me how many times I'd read that and how many times it come to my mind. And I had never really seen what this verse says to some extent. For it says, "For the children being not yet born, neither have done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth." Not of works, but of him that calleth. But it goes right on, and it says, "It was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger, and as it is written, and as it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated." Now it didn't say Jacob will I love, and Esau will I hate, but it said Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, before there ever either one had come forth to do good or evil. Brethren, we sing the song, it says, "With reverence let the saints appear, and bow before our God," and that's not exact words, "bow before his throne." It says, "His high command," it says, "His high command, with reverence hear, and tremble at his word." Brethren, this is the word of God. This is not my word. Jesus, when he come, he said, "The words that I speak to you," he said, "this is not my doctrine, but the doctrine of him that sent me." Brethren, this is not the way of the earthly man. This is the way of God. And before we can begin to understand the way of God, before we can drink the sincere milk of the word, we need to be born of God. But after we've partaken by the grace of God, been blessed, that we have been given that we might become the sons of God, the manifest sons of God. Before we can do that, we have to be born of that Spirit of God. And after we've partaken of the sincere milk of the Word, that we might grow thereby, that in going down through the ages of time, as we begin to grow, we pray that by the grace of God, then we can take on strong meat after a while. After a while. And I'll tell you, it'll be after a while. Because you can't do it at first. Brethren, this is strong meat if I know anything about it. "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated, that the purpose of God according to election might stand. Not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of him that calleth." Not of him that had a desire in himself. Brethren, if you got the desire of these things, you know, there were some that John the Baptist wouldn't baptize. Why wouldn't he baptize them? Well, the world wants to preach that, well, just bring everybody in out of the world and make children of God out of them. Bring them in and teach them and make children of God out of them. Well, first of all, something's got to happen before I can become a child of God. Brothers and sisters, something has taken place, and have we seen it? You know, in a family, the way it's been in the things of old, in the family, the firstborn always received the greatest portion of the inheritance. The firstborn. Was Adam the firstborn? Was Adam the firstborn? Brothers and sisters, no, Adam was not the firstborn. Brothers and sisters, you know, I've heard it long ago and lately too, I've heard it men stand up and declare that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. And I say amen. But I'll say this. If the Son, the S-O-N, did not come out of the Father, or come from the Father, if he was not of the Father,